me. I'm in sunny Southern California right now in a hotel recording this episode because I didn't have any time the past couple days as I was preparing for this trip to record what I did on Sunday night. So I'm here in California, still on Central Time, but in the West Coast. So I am all kinds of loopy and tired right now. But hey, I'm here. I'm not complaining because I want to get this episode for you guys. I have an interview with James Sabin, a youth pastor in West Virginia who is killing it. And he's going to give you some really practical advice that he's noticed that's killed in his student ministry. And so I want to get to that as quick as I can. But let's talk about what I did last Sunday night. Before I do that, please, if you can, share this podcast with a friend. I would love that. If you have a youth pastor friend, let me know about it. Also, I got a brand new small group series in DYM Store called Stranger Scenes. It's loosely based off the TV show Stranger Things, and it's like basically a four-week Bible study, four-week small group series where we look at some of the stranger scenes in the Bible, like the weird, scary, like kind of strange Bible stories, and kind of what the implications are. Like, what are they in there for? Like, why should we be reading them? And so it's a good study. Make sure you check that out. So let's dive into what we did this past Sunday. So it was the week after our Fuse One Night. And so we had a bunch of new kids come after our big back-to-school event. But it was also a Packers Sunday night game. So there was a bunch of kids who didn't show up because they want to be at home to watch the Packers play. So that's the tension we live in Wisconsin. I don't know if you live in a state that, like, football is king or an idol, however you want to call it. And so we have to wrestle with that. So, but we had a good group. We started like a really good turnout. We had a bunch of new leaders shadowing and getting to know the ministry. And so it was fun. But we started. And the first thing I want you to know, the kids came in at 6. The doors were open. The music was playing. We had pudding for our snacks. I got a bunch of pudding from Costco. And then at 6:30, I started a countdown video, and so I downloaded. I'm gonna put this on the website so you can get it. There is a video pack of a bunch of different what's it called, like video transitions, like 20-second, 30-second transition videos that can help you go from one segment to another and transition from like games to worship or message to small groups, whatever you need to do. And I got it, and we tried it for the first time, and I think it was pretty cool. Like when the video is showing the transition, the next person comes up, and it was pretty neat. So I'll put that in the website. It's a transition video transition pack that you can you use tonight or whenever you listen to this in your service right now. Then after that, we had announcements. And so one thing we're trying to do is we want every volunteer to have some FaceTime in front of all the students. And so in order to do that, I figure we'd go through like all the leaders, all of our volunteer leaders. Every week, one volunteer leader does the announcements. But for a while, they were just literally just going up there and sharing announcements without anyone getting to know the new volunteer leaders. So what I decided to do is have all the volunteer leaders let me go up there, and I'm going to interview them and ask them like 3 silly questions. And after I ask them 3 silly questions, then they can go ahead and do the announcements. So that way we can get to know everyone. So one of my leaders did it, and we announced, you know, we have a girls' sleepover in a couple weeks, a guys' video game night, and our big winter weekends in February. We're already promoting it. We showed the promo video for it. We're already trying to get in there. We're selling tickets for it. We're excited about it. So then we transitioned to games using a games transition video from that pack, right? And then we played 2 games. And so the 2 games were really silly. The one game we played already, and we'll talk about that in a second, but the first game was called Slap Wrestling. And so I'm going to put a link, because my games guy, the guy who in my youth group who does the games, he's like, we should do this game. And so it's kind of like, it's kind of hard to explain, but basically like 2 people are standing in front of each other, and they have their feet together, and they have to like try to push the other person or try to make the other person stumble on their feet or whatever. But all you can do is hit their hands. You can't touch their body. You can't do anything. All you can do is touch their hands and try to make a move. There's a description of the rules of the game on frankgill.me in the show notes, but it was a really, really fun game. And after that, we played 5 Second Rule again. So we played 5 Second Rule over at Fuse one night, and we brought it again last night, or on Sunday night, and it was good. It was a great game. You can buy the actual game 5 Second Rule at like Walmart or Target, or you can just come up with your own game where it's like, okay, two people come up front, they take turns, they go back and forth, they have 5 seconds to name three things of whatever category you have or whatever, and there's like a countdown clock. And so there's a, you know, I use a DYM Games app, and there's a little countdown clock that we do from 5 seconds to zero, and has like a noise. It's pretty awesome. It was a fun game. So then we had worship. We did This Is Amazing Grace. We did Forever Rain and Greater You, Lord. It was cool. It was the first Sunday back as a band, and they did a good job. And then I started my series called Foundations. And so Foundations is like almost like a systematic theology course. That sounds way too heavy for what it really is. Basically, we want to give kids every opportunity to like know everything they need to know as a believer and like answer those hard questions, you know, and answer the questions like, how can Jesus be fully God and fully man? Like, why is there sin in the world? All that kind of stuff. And so we started off the series with the topic of the Trinity. What is the Trinity? How does that work? What are the wrong ideas of the Trinity? I showed the Lutheran satire video where the two Irish guys meet with St. Patrick. It's so funny. And talk about like the wrong views of the Trinity. It was such a fun night. So it was good. In small groups, it was a mixed response, right? Like some kids, they had really good discussion. Some groups, they were like really quiet because it was like really heavy. But ultimately, the point of the sermon was like the reason why we should understand the Trinity is because in the Trinity, we understand what true love, unity, and community looks like. And so, yeah, I mean, small groups, I think because it was the first night back into small groups, and it was also like kind of a heavy topic. But I think moving forward, once the kids get the groove, like, okay, this is kind of the series we're in, and this is the kind of stuff we're talking about, kids will be more and more comfortable. So yeah, we had a transition video, then we dismissed into small groups, and that was the night. Yeah, it was a good night overall. So anyways, like I said, I have James Sabin coming up doing this interview with me, and he is such a good guy. He's funny, he's energetic. He reminds me a lot of my youth pastor when I was growing up, and he's just killing it, man. He's killing it in West Virginia. And he has a cool little church out there, and I get to, not little, it's a growing, booming church actually. And I get to go out there again in November to speak at his his fall event. So anyway, hope you enjoyed the interview. And yeah, man, if you want to give any feedback, rate and review the podcast on iTunes or whatever, and let me know what you think. Tag me on social media. I'm at DYM100, and so any DYM100 100ers out there, maybe you're listening to this on the plane, let me know you listen to this on the plane when you see me at DYM100. If you're not DYM100, follow me on social media. I'm going to post what I'm allowed to post, but it's so legit. The best conference ever. Anyways, I'll see you guys next week. Enjoy the interview. See ya. All right. I'm here with James Sabin. This is why I love the internet, guys. Like 7 years ago, if I wanted to hang out with other youth pastors, I would have to cold email like local guys begging them to get coffee with me to just for them to ignore me, right? And now there are multiple youth pastor groups on Facebook with literally thousands of youth workers across this country. I mean, outside of this country. I know Canadians because of this, right? I have a friend in...
That's who's calling.
Oh, yeah, that guy from Ottawa, whoever he is. Like, I have friends, youth workers in Canada who I have conversations with. There's a youth worker in Alaska who was just, I was having a conversation with him about big events, and it's just pretty awesome that, like, Facebook brings us together to be able to share ideas, and James is one of quite a few youth workers who... I only knew from the internet, and then different things like DYM100 brought us together, and it's been so cool to get to know James. We met last year at DYM100. We're going again this year to the same week, which is going to be super exciting.
And best week, by the way. Oh, week one, just saying.
Best week, yeah. Week two, it's all the leftovers. Yeah, you know, you're literally eating the leftover food because they're not buying more food. but man, I can't wait. Like, it's. When I think of the DYM 100, I think of like any other youth conference I've been to, there's something about the 100 that's like so much greater. And yeah, you can talk about the exclusivity of it. You can talk about the face-to-face connection with Josh and Doug and the DYM team. But there's something about 100 youth pastors just hanging out together and like literally just talking and sharing ideas that you can't always get in a 1,000-person session. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You never get that.
You never. And so I cannot wait to go back. But anyways, I have James here. I'm in West Virginia right now, and we're in a hotel room recording this. And he brought me out here because in November I'm coming out for
we're excited for
a big event. I can't wait. And so we're kind of dreaming, planning, doing that kind of stuff. Most of the day, just talking and sharing ideas, sharing stories. And it's been really cool to get to know James more and talk about his ministries at a really cool church, doing cool things. And so what I want to do is very practically. I want my listeners, the three of them that listen, whatever. I'm up to four. For them to, get to know you, who you are. Sure. Tell me a little bit about your context. And then literally, I'll remind you of the question. I want you to just tell me like three really practical things that you're doing in your ministry that maybe these listeners could apply in their ministry this week, So but first, before we answer that question, tell me, who are you? Tell me about your context. We're just outside of like West Virginia University. Yep. Saw a lot of college kids today. Tell me about this area. What's the context that you're in?
So I'm originally from New York, New Jersey. So here's a New York, New Jersey guy who gets kind of planted in to Morgantown, West Virginia, thinking I'm going to West Virginia. The reason I came here initially was number one, to play sports. And then number two, because I was like, wow, this is the number one party school in the nation. And that was, of course, my BC days, my before Christ. Came here and, met Jesus in a great way. And this has become home. And I've been here now for over 20 years. And this context is, it sounds like, West Virginia. So it's going to maybe be a little, backwoods, or, maybe hillbilly, if people would let me use those word, that word. And but where we are, we're kind of in a melting pot. We're an hour south of Pittsburgh. Where we are right now, we're 20 minutes south of the Pennsylvania border. And because of the university, it's just really a melting pot. And so it's really cool. And it's this kind of little city America is really the feel here. Now, of course, you just go right outside, that area, and you kind of run into a little more West Virginia. But here, it's just a really great place and a great place to raise a family. Yeah. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I saw pictures of your summer camp, and it looks like you have some diversity. It's not homogenous and stuff. And
very much so.
You're telling me that you have like a after school program in your church, and there was a lot of different kids from
all different area. It's
super cool. Like what's happening here is really, really neat. And what you're doing is really cool. And I've already stolen all his good ideas. So whatever he shares here doesn't matter because my youth group is doing it first. So it's great. But I would love for you to share, you've shared with me a couple ideas that you've been doing. I've already written down because I'm stealing them all. But what are some three things that you feel like in your context in the past 6 months to a year that have just killed? That just like it was a home run and it's been beneficial, whether it's for your students, your volunteers, your parents. What are like three things that's happened that maybe you can just tell our listeners and like, hey, you can take this idea, rip it apart, and apply it to your youth group tonight. What are some ideas you got?
Well, let me say this. I've stolen way more ideas from Frank than he has taken from me, that's for sure. Frank is just great at what he does, gifted. It's why I asked him to come and do our camp. Like I said, Frank's got the it factor, and he's just been created for youth ministry. But anyway, that's a fact. So if you're listening to this, you know that already. That's why you're listening.
I appreciate that.
That's for sure. But now I would say the first thing we do that is a little bit of a commitment, a little scary, when kind of it really came from our senior pastor. Ultimately, he started doing daily devotional for the church, our church at large. We started to grow, and people were saying, "I just want more," and they can only come so much in schedules and family, and they said, "We just want more," and it seems like you have so much more to offer, to teach us. And so he just felt like the Lord was telling him to start a daily devotional, and And so he started this daily devotional, and it was rolling, and I mean, it was a commitment. And when he even said, I'm going to do, he actually did a 7-day-a-week daily devotional.
Wow.
Which when he said that, I said, he's the senior pastors, we're also good friends. And I said, Kev, I said, that's a little crazy, man.
Like, are they tweets? Like, are they just like 140 characters? No,
they're between 200 to 600 words, and they bounce.
7 days a week.
Yeah, that's 7 days. Lot. Now he's backed up.
Good.
And he went to...
He realized that was a terrible idea.
So, instead of starting little by little, he just took one big bite and then realized he had to spit some out. But we're youth pastors. We can talk like that. And so, But it was from there that we just began to see kind of, okay. And then, God started to put that on my heart. Like, you could do that for the youth. And so me and the other guy, his name is Daniel, who works with us. He does our Athlete's Edge ministry. That's an outreach, kind of like a parachurch within a church ministry that we do. He came to me and we were already praying about it and talking, decided, you know what? I think we need to do this. And right. So we came together. We both literally had the same idea and vision for it. And so we kind of shared the load and we knew it was a commitment. And so we started a student daily devotional. We created the blog. We created kind of a theme. We said, okay, let's get together. Let's whiteboard this. And let's throw up some thematic scriptures and let's cover this area. This week we'll cover this topic. And this week we'll cover, anywhere from dating to, just maybe some disciples, some how to grow in your faith, kind of that kind of stuff. Let's talk about how do we relate with anger? How do we deal with anger? How do we deal with unforgiveness? How do we deal with peer pressure, in all its forms? And we just hit those themes every week. And we did that for about almost a year. Mm. And then now we've jumped into other themes and books of the Bible. We did the book of James and we literally went through the book of James and we went through the book of Acts. And we've been doing this for almost 2 years now.
Wow.
And I do 2 days. He does 2 days. And then we have a guest leader from our team because we want to give our leaders a voice with the kids, which I think has been great for them and our kids because they don't just get to hear from the paid pastor.
Yeah.
And our kids have really jumped on. And then we grabbed our senior kids.
Wow.
And we have our students do one like every quarter. We have one of our students we highlight a student and we say, hey, who's kind of hitting a home run in their walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
And we say, hey, would you do a devotional? And they say, yeah, absolutely. And we kind of, and so it's a great time to train them. Hey, what does a devotional look like? And so that's kind of what we do. And that's how we do it. So that's a commitment, though, I will say.
So it looks like, because it's you and someone else.
Yep.
That's, you're writing 2 devotionals a week.
Yeah.
In that sense. And then the other person writes 2 devotionals a week.
Yeah.
And you have a third person writing.
Yeah.
So that's not too terrible. It's not too terrible. It's a good bite you can chew.
It is.
And writing, what'd you say, 200 to 400 words, right?
Yeah, about 200 to 400. Yeah, yeah. Anywhere in between there is healthy, yeah. Just a good bite, not too long.
And the system you have, and you didn't even mention this part, but so you have a blog, it's a blog site. Is it Wix you use?
Yeah, we use a Wix blog site.
But people could use
whatever.
They could use WordPress, Tumblr, Squarespace, whatever they want to use.
Any of those.
And so they have a blog, but then you have a texting app, right?
Yes.
Or a texting tool that mass texts people, students who've signed up for it?
Yeah, this goes to almost 300 students.
Over 300 students, wow.
Because they've invited their friends. It's an outreach. And we have kids who go, hey, I get your devotional, and that's how I came, and all that stuff. And just all sorts. Yeah, but I say one of the positives is, and I was telling you this earlier.
Yeah.
The thing we see is we see kids engaging the word daily.
Yeah.
We send it out 6:30 in the morning. Kids come and they go, oh, wow, here we are. And they know that we're for them right there. Mm. Hey, we're here. We're not going anywhere. And they get to engage the word in simple bites. And so it's not, it's nothing intimidating. And from there, hopefully they go deeper. Mm. But it's really served amazingly in our youth ministry. And our kids really responded. It's just been powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you told me earlier, it surpassed your region, right? Like, you've seen data.
Japan, all over the country, Las Vegas, Maine, D.C.
Wow.
We saw in the first week over 300 hits.
And where are they coming from, you think?
Well,
kids shared. How do you think they got it?
So we put it out. So me and Daniel, our other youth pastor, we put it out on our social media. The kids put it in their social media. Wow. We have adults sharing. Their parents are sharing it. And then from the site, they're texting it to their friends too. And like I said, it's doing its
killer.
Own thing. Yeah.
It's such a cool
it's
idea.
It's doing its own thing.
It's a big commitment, but it's a rewarding commitment.
It is. It's been
because wonderful. You're guiding kids towards getting in the Word every day.
Yeah,
and that's huge. And that's, I mean, I could see this as like, you know, maybe school's already started, but like maybe in January 1st, like saying, hey, you know, we're going to launch this. Yeah. And maybe if you and a team of people can start, if you start now, like preparing these devotionals, you know, by January 1st, you might have a good chunk of devotionals that you can just start putting in like a queue and a blog and then send them out. Like, that's huge. Yeah.
I mean,
that's
we can let them know if they want to take a look to see how it's done. The format, I can let them know.
Tell them the link.
Yeah, it's Edge Youth Student. Crap, I don't even know. You're gonna have to
follow. Oh, this is good. Yeah, look it up. Let me look it up real fast. It's something with
it's
Edge.
It's Edge. Something there, with it's you. Because I always get. All right. We have three websites we run. So it's the Daily Edge Youth Devos.com.
The Daily.
Yep. The Daily Edge Youth Devos.com. That's a chunk, I know, but you know what? Everything else was taken.
You had to add that daily. Yeah.
So we had to squeeze everything in there to get it the way it is.
So that link, I'll put it on my website, frankhill.me, and you can be able to go and just click that. The Daily Edge
Youth Devos.com.
This is so many words.
I know.
All right. But it's the longest URL.
We got to fix that, but it's working.
You have to shrink that URL for Twitter. I love it. No, so that's great. That's a great idea. What's another idea you got?
Well, I know you mentioned games.
Yeah.
So the one game that, believe it or not, of course we have the DYM app, which we use all the time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the people picker is just awesome.
Yep.
The wheel is, you know, we use that all the time. But the thing that's worked a bunch is, and our kids are always asking for it now for some reason, is the game Signs.
Yeah. Signs. Yes. It's one of my favorite games. When I learned this, I was in high school when I learned it. But there might be some people who don't know what games and Signs is. And it's kind of difficult to explain without showing them.
It is.
But as best as you can you explain what is Signs?
I would say first Google it.
Yeah.
And you'll really get, but without Googling it now. You know, Signs is simply this. You sit in a big circle. You can break it up if you have to. Mm-hmm. Our kids even love, for some reason, they don't want to break it up. No matter how many kids we have, they want to do the
big. I've played this game with a ton of kids.
Exactly. Yeah. So they don't want to break it up. They want it big. So it's simply this. Everybody creates a sign. So it could be like, you know, simple, obviously, the peace sign. You could do the okay sign. For me, it's funny. I always do like the forget about it sign where you kind of put your, just picture the Italian guy going, hey, how you doing? Put your four fingers on your thumb. So everybody's got a sign. Somebody's, you know, someone might itch their ear. Someone might put, you know, a finger on the nose. But everybody picks a sign, and you've got to know everybody else's sign, which never really happens. But that's the idea. And then how it works is we pick someone to be in the middle, and someone's got to catch the sign either giver or receiver. Whoever catches whether the sign being sent or the sign received, they call them out, and then that person, kind of like a little bit of monkey in the middle there, that person becomes the person who's going to catch this. They get in the middle and they have to catch the sign giver and receiver after that. So that's pretty much how it works. You'll have kids sit around, we start it, we pick one, the person in the middle either is out of the room or they have to close their eyes, and we say who's going to start. Someone starts and then they throw a sign, they have to throw somebody else's sign, and when that sign is and they call it babies in the air. I don't know how other people
never heard that before.
So there you go.
That's super funny though.
Babies in the air.
So when the sign's out.
When the sign's out and no one's got funny. It. Once it's sent, babies in the air, nobody has the baby and no one's giving it up at that point because it's out there. And then the person in the middle is looking to see who receives it. And so whoever then, now if they threw your sign, you have to catch it with your sign. You have to receive it by giving your sign. Again,
right.
And that's how you get it. And you receive the baby, so to speak. And now you have to send it to someone else without the person in the middle catching you send the baby. So, I mean, I don't know how great of an explanation.
Hey,
it's hard. Google it, but they love.
I'll try to find some kind of example, and I'll put it on my website too. But listen, I've played this game. It's so
Frank,
fun.
You can expound. You can break. You can
I mean,
break
no, I love it. The way I always try to explain it, it's like a game of catch with an invisible ball.
Exactly.
And the way you catch and receive or throw and catch is by using different hand signals or gestures.
Yeah.
But like it's one of those games where like I always tell kids like just watch a turn and you'll kind of get it, but it's so fun.
It's so fun.
And one of my favorite things. Listen, youth pastors. There's two things I love to do. Two classic things I love to do. In Signs, I love to play it when there is no ball. So you just don't tell the person in the middle that there's no ball, and so everyone's just doing random gestures and they're just like you got it, and it drives the person crazy, just to pull the prank. In the same vein, sometimes I play Mafia. And when I, if you don't put it in the car, you,
believe it or not, I've never, I know the guy Mafia. I've never played it.
You never played Mafia, yeah, and you're, and you say you're Italian.
I know, dude.
So,
I play the real.
I've done the real thing. Yeah. So the game Mafia, everyone knows the game Mafia. And like a certain face card is the Mafia card. I pull those out. And so there are no Mafia in the game. And as the narrator, I just randomly kill people. And then people are like, hey, wait a minute. Mathematically, this doesn't work out. And like then people are sorry. But people are yelling, accusing, coming up with whole reasons why they're the Mafia or someone's the Mafia. And there was no Mafia. I love, you can only do that once. Because then they'll never trust you again. But it's super fun. Is there anything else? Is there anything else you can give us that's like a really practical thing that you can share with us?
Yeah, I mean, for us, when we went to small groups... I mean, small groups was a big deal when we finally just said, you know what, with it, we have them Sunday nights. How are we gonna go a little deeper? How are we gonna connect our leaders so that they form those relationships? And we found we have them there. And it's something that Frank said in our conversation. You have 100% participation in small groups when they're there.
But it's the same night. It's the same night.
You can't mess this up, right? You can't. You can mess up anything, but you just really
people just walk out after
your
message.
You got to try really hard. No one's done that yet. But you got to try really hard to mess that up. But they're right there. Your leaders connect. We've trained our leaders. We use Reggie Joyner, which I know so many lead small. I mean, that's it. That we made sure before anybody stepped up into that position, they went through that book. They met. You know, they met with us and our team, and we said okay. And now they're just pouring into those kids, and so we have the message. We're doing all the you know the regular pre-service stuff that most youth groups are doing, but that's been a big win, and we've seen growth from that for sure. And our leaders have grown, and the ministry's going, and our kids are being discipled, and it's evident, no doubt about it.
Love it, love it, love it. James, I'm so glad you were able to get on the podcast. Is there any social networks you want to share so people can follow you if they want to follow you? Or you could say no, so no one follows you. It's,
yeah, I mean, no, it's
saved.
Cool. I mean, yeah, right now, listen, I just, this is sad. I'm a 43-year-old, and you might even just shut the podcast off right there.
No, no. If but, anything, you just heard his age, and that means we should all aspire to be this guy. I hope,
but,
I hope
a lifer.
I'm 43.
Yeah, I'm a lifer.
Ministry.
I'm a lifer.
The day I get some gray in my beard is the day I'm looking forward to.
That's why I don't grow mine anymore. But I'll tell you this. Edge at KEMC is my Twitter handle. JamesSabin13 is my Instagram. Facebook is just the, you just go Edge Student Ministry. You'll see us on there.
Yeah.
It'll pop up. And same thing, Edge at Kingdom, I think, is for our Facebook page. But anyway, if you follow me, great. If not, that's cool.
That's all good. I'll be putting social networks on the frankgill.me website. But man, I appreciate it. It was fun.
You bet.
And,
have a great time.
And I can't wait till November when I come back here.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
And maybe we'll do another episode and
that'd
just
be cool.
Shoot
absolutely
the breeze. All right, man. Well, a thing we do, I made all my guests do this, is they come in close to the mic and they whisper, bye, buddies. Can you do that for me?
Bye, buddies.
Love it.